Well, taking care of your health, Dr. Barry Dworkin, welcome back to the program.
Well, thanks, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. You constantly are a wealth of new things, and I think that's why people like you so much. All these things going on health research labs, that sort of thing, and the one that caught my eye that you sent out this week was laser stitches. Would you like to take us through that?
Sure. Joe, do you remember the movie Logan's Run? And that scene in the surgery suite where they had that laser that cut through the skin but then sealed the skin completely afterwards?
Right.
Well, it's pretty, you know, we looked at it at that time. I think that was the 70s, late 70s or 80s, and you looked at it going, oh, man, that's just not going to happen, right? Well, at the Massachusetts General Hospital, they have developed a means to get close to that. That is, they're using a dye called, used in ophthalmology, called Rose Bengal. And they use a green laser. They put this dye on the skin that's open, on this cut or sort of an open area after they do surgery. And they bring the skin together with this dye and they use a laser, literally like a laser pen with a specific frequency. And it seals the skin up. It is, they call this nano suturing. That is, it's akin to, if you think of the difference between tying your shoelaces and using Velcro.
Okay.
That's the difference between it. Shoelaces, if you make an analogy to stitching up something, you're using stitches to close up a wound. You have literally track marks on the skin afterwards. You know, that little railroad track thing sometimes you'll see when you're trying to fix up a scar. In this case, when they use the laser and this dye, it incorporates itself into what we call the connective tissue of the skin, literally gluing it together.
So it's seamless then, is it?
It's almost seamless where the scar is much smaller, much thinner. But the importance of this is not just for the cosmetic result, because now you can deal with tissues that are very sensitive and delicate to repair. For example, a cut nerve, a damage to the eye, reattaching arteries together. Lots of things where, you know, when you think of the size of some of these structures that are literally you need a microscope or magnifying scope to be able to see what you're doing, and using very tiny sutures, which requires a lot of skill and a steady hand and also ensuring that the ends of the nerve are put together properly. In this case, you may be able to use this particular technique, which only takes a few minutes to seal up something, and it becomes a watertight seal as well. So you know when you get your stitches on your skin and you're told you can't take a bath or a shower for a couple of days because you don't want water seeping into the wound.
Right.
In this case, it's watertight right after the surgery. So it's very, very neat technology. And we are going to be interviewing one of the researchers from the Massachusetts General Hospital. I'll be talking to her today. And hopefully broadcasting the interview on Sunday with more information for people. But it's pretty neat when you think of the technology.
Yeah.
It's safe to use, and it provides a much better benefit in this case.
Yeah, well, just to remind people there, you're on a network show that we carry at CFAX on noon to 2 on Sunday. So that'll be coming up this week. Well, that's something nice to look forward to. Does it go as far, this laser stitching, does it go so far as when they give an angiogram, and they wind up putting a stent in you, which is to strengthen that particular part of the vein or whatever artery it's concerned with. Does this eliminate stents? In other words, can you just clip out the bad part of the artery and seal it that way, or is that stretching it too much?
I think that's probably stretching it a little bit, and the reason is that this is more for surface or exposed tissue. So.
Right. Not internal.
That's right. And in terms of a stent, you're dealing with also high velocity areas, where if you have blood flowing through an artery and you're putting the stent in there, there's really no way to get the dye in there and to stick on something because there's fluid running through that all the time. So a stent itself is a very different device. It uses pressure from its side walls as it expands to stay in place. And it's not dealing with more of a cut through anything. It's more just putting something. It's like a tube within a tube to reinforce it.
Gotcha. This leads us to vaccine-like shots to keep cocaine abusers from getting high. Also help them fight their addiction in the first successful rigorous study of this approach to treating illicit drug use.
That's right. This is very interesting because they have been looking for a means to help people who suffer from addiction to block the pathway in the brain that leads to that addictive behavior. And in this case, this was published just a few days ago in the Archives of General Psychiatry. It's been financed by the U.S. government. It's not a particular drug company. And what they did is that they had 115 people who were cocaine abusers and also hooked on heroin. And they were in methadone programs to control the heroin addiction. But the problem was is that there was nothing to control the cocaine addiction. So they used this vaccine that what the vaccine does is it creates antibodies so that the antibodies recognize the cocaine, bind to the cocaine, and prevent it from getting to the brain and eliciting its effect. And so they follow these people for 12 weeks. They either got 5 shots of the cocaine vaccine or placebo or dummy, so no one knew what they were getting. Mm-hmm. And they were followed then for an additional 12 weeks after that, so it's 24 weeks in total. And they also attended all the cognitive behavioral therapy treatments, the group therapy treatments to try to help prevent relapses. And they had their blood tested for the antibodies to see how they, and their urine tested for cocaine and heroin use to really see how they were doing. And out of those 115, and remember half of them, so it's about 50, 55 of them that had the vaccine, 21 of them had antibody levels high enough to prevent them from getting high on the cocaine. And of this particular group, so again, small numbers, but even though of this 21, 53% of them, or about 10, 11 of them, stopped using cocaine more than half the time during the study versus only 23%, which would be out of that 21, or the ones that weren't vaccinated. So about, 23% of them had lower antibody levels and weren't able to stay off the cocaine. So it's simply a sort of a proof of principle that it does work for some people. They're going to be trying larger trials because it's a small number of people. And in addition to this, there is another vaccine called NicVax. I don't know if you've heard about this.
No.
It's a nicotine vaccine to help people quit smoking. And it's being fast-tracked by the Food and Drug Administration, also supported by the federal government in the U.S., undergoing trials to see, again, if it binds to the nicotine, blocks the effect of nicotine on the brain, and helps people stop smoking. So interesting technologies looking to try to deal with addiction, because addiction, despite what people say, is not just a simple black and white issue of just stop and say no. There are many other factors that contribute to addiction, and this would be used as a tool to help someone recover, but not as a sole means to get them to stop their addiction. It's simply used as a tool along with all the other support systems to try and get people to stop.
If you'd like to join the conversation with a question or comment, we're looking at the very latest in what will give you better health with Dr. Barry Dworkin. Always a delight to have someone like Barry on the program because he does find all the new information that will make us healthier. So don't be frightened to join in here at 250-386-1161, star 1070, or talk at cfax1070.com.